Marshall 71. It's a final in the PIL tonight. Madison 74, Marshall 71. Well, I hope you had a good week. Hope your weekend is super. And I'll talk to you at 8 o'clock Monday night. I'm Tom Morgan. Have a nice weekend. This is KOI in Portland. It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. President Ford campaigns in Florida, preparing for that state's presidential primary March 9th. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. The president on Friday spent the first of 2 days planned for campaigning in Florida this weekend. Friday evening, he answered questions put to him by area civic leaders at a session held in Fort Lauderdale. One of the questions concerned the price of gasoline. The president blamed high prices on foreign producers.
Unfortunately, we are now importing from OPEC nations 40% of our domestic oil consumption. 40%. It's gone up from 33% in the last 3 years. They control the price. We don't control the price. That's why we have to have an energy program to stimulate domestic production. In the meantime, we have to have conservation.
The president was asked about Ronald Reagan's candidacy and replied that anyone to the extreme right cannot win a national election. Reagan was campaigning in Illinois Friday. He promised to make public his total income and total taxes paid for the last 5 years he spent in public office, ending in 1974. Reagan says he'll skip 1975 because he was a private citizen during that year. He also said he will not disclose his net worth, saying he has no way of knowing what it is. Reagan claims his assets are in a blind trust, and he cannot ask for the information. More news in a moment.
Imagine what it'd be like to have a microwave oven with a memory, so you could tell it to defrost a roast, cook it, then call you when dinner's ready. Wouldn't that be fantastic? Well, it is fantastic, because that's exactly what the revolutionary Amana Touchmatic Radar Range microwave oven can do for you. Because it's the first microwave oven with a memory. You take a frozen roast out of the freezer and put it in the Amana Touchmatic Radar Range. You select defrost and cooking times by touching numbers on the control panel. Push start, and the Amana Touchmatic Radar Range memory takes over. It remembers to defrost, remembers to wait for the temperature to even, remembers with split-second accuracy just how long to cook, remembers to shut itself off. It even remembers to call you for dinner. Then the timer remembers the exact time of day and displays it in lights. Get together with a friend and go see your Amana retailer this week. They'll show you the Amana Touchmatic Radar Range in action. Fantastic.
Calling it pork barrel legislation in an election year, President Ford vetoed that $6.2 billion bill intended to create 600,000 new jobs. But Democratic supporters in Congress said the public works measure is needed to get more people off the jobless rolls. House supporters predicted the lower chamber will vote to override the veto next week. One well-known economist sides with the administration on the issue. A report from Rich Holder of Station WCCO in Minneapolis.
Economist Milton Friedman is warning Congress that efforts to ease the nation's unemployment by creating government jobs is a political measure, one that could trigger a new burst of inflation in 1977 and 78. A University of Chicago economist told an audience at St. Cloud State University that at first glance, the theory that more government spending will expand the economy seems reasonable until you look at where the government gets its money. Friedman predicts real output could drop in the next 6 months, causing a boost in interest rates and a return of inflation. To quote Friedman, inflation is made in one place and one place only, and that's Washington. If there is a slowdown, Friedman says those in Washington will blame the greedy trade unions, the grasping consumer, and the selfish businessman. Admitting there's no doubt unions are greedy, consumers are grasping, and businessmen are selfish, as we all are, he adds no one except the government has a printing press. Rich Holter for CBS News, Minneapolis.
CBS News correspondent Daniel Shore on Friday said he is the individual from whom the Village Voice, a New York City weekly newspaper, obtained a copy of the House Intelligence Committee report it published this week. Shore says he obtained the report before the House voted to block its release. Shore said he acted in the cause of freedom of the press. Sobbing at times, Patricia Hearst on Friday testified at her bank robbery trial in San Francisco. She was questioned in detail by her lawyer, F. Lee Bailey, who wanted her to tell the court about the abuse she suffered at the hands of her kidnappers. Miss Hearst told of being bound and gagged, abused physically, and threatened with death. Now this.
Lifestyle 1776. You might not know it, but mass inoculation was used for the first time in the American colonies. Smallpox, which had come from Europe, was rampant around the time of our revolution. A controversy arose over whether or not to use a vaccine to control the epidemic. But General George Washington ordered inoculation for the entire American army. When that proved successful, a vast program was launched, setting a pattern for mass inoculation adopted not only throughout America, but around the world. I'm Mike Wallace, CBS News. Medicine and health in early America are just two of the many subjects we'll cover on Lifestyle 1776, 30 special bicentennial broadcasts the weekend of February 14th and 15th. We'll also look into life on the farms and the cities, town meetings, tavern politics. Listen for Lifestyle 1776, 30 special bicentennial broadcasts from CBS News, the weekend of February 14th and 15th on the CBS Radio Network.
New York City's money problems are making news again. Mayor Abraham Beame says the city is $1 billion short of being able to balance its budget. The mayor said inflation and the recession have increased the projected deficit to 40% higher than the worst estimates last fall. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
In Radio 97 News, Portland City Commissioner Charles Jourdais says he will vote against a proposed noise control ordinance, which has been under study for 3 years. And that decision caused quite a bit of noise among city commissioners, but especially with the mayor, who says the city has spent 3 years and about $50,000 on the project.
That's not very good logic now. You know, if you... No, that's not very good logic, simply because we made that investment at that time. We did not make a commitment at that time that we were going to go ahead with the ordinance. And if it's not a good idea to an individual like it isn't to me, then you just don't go ahead with it simply because you've made an investment there. No, I don't buy that.
Jordan, whose vote was considered crucial by backers of the noise rules, said he would oppose the ordinance because it comes at a very inopportune time. Says he can't justify spending nearly $70,000 to enforce the proposed noise regulation when he's faced with having to recommend budget cuts in human services. Oregon Congressman Al Ullman, chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee today, announced his decision to seek an 11th term in the House. Ullman made the announcement in Salem, where he also said he will support a 0.1% increase in Social Security's payroll taxes. In a wide-ranging interview, Ullman also branded syndicated columnist Jack Anderson as the biggest entrepreneur in Washington. Senator Mark Hatfield reports that the 15-year exile of former Portlander William Mackey is about to end. Mackey, now 66, has been living in Finland since his deportation for past membership in a group that was determined to be subversive during the anti-communist drives of the 40s and 50s. Mackey was deportable because he was an alien. He was born in another country, but his parents were American. Hatfield says Mackey will be able to return to Oregon in about 2 weeks. And reports from federal and state agencies predict that water supplies for the Owyhee and Mahir watersheds will be adequate for the next season. Weather forecast calling for some showers and then some partial clearing at times tonight and tomorrow. Temperature-wise, lows will be in the 40s. And the high somewhere around 50 degrees. There will be some southerly winds. I'm Tom Morgan. Stay in touch with Radio 97 News.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. The Wild West, which has become one of America's most endurable legends, lasted for less than 50 years. From somewhere in the early 1820s through perhaps 1870. The picture of the cowboy, the saloon, the sheriff with his two guns, and the wild and lawless men with the rough exterior and the smooth drawl was reasonably authentic. This is a story about that era.
I know you're the ranch boss, Mr. Patterson, but I got my orders direct from Mr. Chalmers.
What orders?
I'm to take the buckboard in to pick up Miss Chalmers off the railroad and drive her home.
You're not picking up Mercy. I am. Now get on away from that rig and go round up that mangy Indian pony you call a horse. And you do as you're told.
That's just what I'm doing. Following Mr. Chalmers' orders.
Well, we'll see about that. Now, don't you pull out of here till I get back from the main house, or I'll be right on your heels. And, Bowles, I'm warning you. I'll be carrying iron.
Our mystery drama, The Blue Roan Stallion, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Tony Roberts. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Sinoff, the sinus medicines. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Right now, True Value Hardware Stores can help you get more than you pay for. They're featuring a selection of General Electric appliances that can earn you $2, $3, or $5 back from GE. Hi, Pat Summerall to tell you how to get $3 back. Visit a True Value Hardware Store and ask about GE's Surge of Steam Iron. It uses most tap water, provides an extra surge of steam at a touch of a button, and it cleans itself, too. Buy this Surge of Steam Iron and get $3 back from GE. Want to earn $5? Buy a GE king-size toaster oven. It'll toast 4 slices of bread at once, bake a family-sized meatloaf, or top brown sandwiches and snacks. Purchase of this GE king-size toaster oven earns you $5 back. Purchase of more than 50 other designated GE appliances earns money back, too, from $2 to $5. But act now. The offer's good only through March the 15th at participating True Value Hardware stores, and you can charge it on Master Charge at many stores.
I don't believe it. Tell me again.
Okay. The Internal Revenue Service has over 80 free publications to help answer all those taxing questions you have on your mind.
Uh-huh. What if I'm a flagpole sitter whose pole was attacked by termites?
All right. Flagpole, termites. It's publications 547 and 584.
An ant left me an elephant, under 12 years of age, for me to care for.
Mm-hmm. Adolescent elephant, 501.
People throw money when my 98-year-old uncle lifts weights at the beach. Is that income?
Mm-hmm. 554 and 525.
Does the IRS have an answer for everything?
Well, just about. There are over 80 free publications for the asking at any IRS district office. You can write for them by using the order blank on your 1040 tax package. Yep, over 80 tax-answering publications. Free from the IRS.
Before the middle of the 19th century, the American Indian was doomed. The buffalo that once roamed his vast lands and on whom he depended not only for food, but every other aspect of his life, was being wiped out. Cattle now grazed where once the buffalo roamed, and the land they grazed was no longer Indian land, but the white man's. Cowboys and Indians were natural opponents from their roots. This is the story of one young man who was a part of both and of a phantom symbol that tied them both to the past.
What is it, little buffalo?
Something strange, Mother. Beautiful.
A blue roan stallion.
Silhouetted against the setting sun. He's not one of our horses.
Oh, yes, he is. Was.
Not this Cheyenne tribe. If it wasn't getting to be night, I'd try to take out after him and catch him.
You never would. Come here, little buck. No. No, I mean Dan.
I'm not ashamed of my Indian name.
So you saw the blue stallion?
The... I saw a blue roan. I think it was a stallion.
You saw the blue roan stallion. It came for me.
It came for you?
Let me talk. First of all, the legend. In this Cheyenne tribe, the greatest warrior and counselor of all was...
Straight arrow?
Oh, no, not your father. Except to me. I meant lone gray buffalo.
My father's father.
The father of the man I lived with in this tribe until he died. It was Gray Buffalo's horse, and when he died, the great winter of the beaver, his horse died too. The legend has it that his stallion gave his life so that he might carry his child across the wide water to the happy hunting grounds. Your father saw him out there by the edge of the aspen the night before he took sick. And the chiefs sent for you.
I'm sorry I didn't get here in time to say goodbye.
He would have liked that. I'm glad you are here with me at the last.
I'm glad I'm here to make sure nobody turned his back on you.
Oh, they wouldn't have. I'm accepted now after all these years as one of them. As you are, I hope, in the other world.
Because nobody figures me with blue eyes and red hair for a half-breed. I find it hard to believe sometimes there can be any Cheyenne in me. Was he really my father?
Yes, son. And even though I sent you away all those years ago to live outside the tribe, he still remembered you as his favorite son. Because you were born of our union. I want it better for you.
Better? The Cheyenne are better men than their white brothers.
No. They are a dying race. I wanted the future for you. That's why I sent you to your aunt in Abilene. You said in your letters you studied at school.
I did, Mother. I did. I can read and write.
Oh, go there by the head of the cot and look in the poor flesh. Your father left you one of his treasures there.
His Spencer rifle.
His most prized possession next to his horse. You may have walked into this camp, but you'll ride out of it. And armed.
Not without you. That's what I came back for.
No. I shall ride another horse. He is calling me.
Who?
The blue-roan stallion. And seated on his back. To lift me in the arms and sweep me away as he did over 20 years ago. Young and straight and light bronze. The muscles rippling under his skin. The face fierce and proud. And the back straight as the arrow that gave him his name. Yes, straight arrow. I am coming again to share your teepee and your blanket. My love, freely given, never taken, always given, and never dying. Only waiting to begin again across the great water.
Mother.
Live to make me proud of you. And that is more reward than I can ask for. You go quickly over the fire.
Yes.
There he is, sitting on the blue stallion, waiting for me. Look closely, and you will see me join you.
Mother! Oh, no. Dead. Last link anywhere. Now I'm alone. And there is no home. I came down off the edge of the mountains, across the flatlands, heading southeast back towards Texas. I had a good horse between my legs and a rifle I could drop a prairie dog with at 100 yards. It was summer, and before me I could see a far mile. I'd have never seen him if it hadn't have been for the vultures. A big, heavy man, well-dressed, lying on his back, fighting to keep his eyes open. Colt 44 cocked and ready in his lap, but one of them came too near. You want to put up your gun? I'll give you some water.
Gun is The buzzards, not you. A drink. I take it kindly.
Here, here.
Oh, Lord, hold on, hold on. Come at it easy. You'll tie up your belly in knots.
Oh, a damn fool. I know better. Only when you hanker this hard for a drink, it... No, that's enough for now.
How long you been here?
Since yesterday afternoon. My horse shied at a rattler. It threw me. Oh, my leg's broken. Oh, my ranch isn't too far from here. And horse, we could make it by nightfall.
You're not in any shape to ride. Let's have a look at that leg.
It's just below... knee.
Yeah. Shin bone. Tibia.
Hey, what are you? A doc?
No, just the son of a school teacher. Here.
What is it, huh?
It's a piece of rawhide fringe off my jacket. Fold it up so you can bite on it.
What for?
I'm going to set that leg of yours, and it's going to hurt. I'll have to use my rifle stock for a splint. Had to cut your pants leg away anyway, so we might as well use it to tie that splint secure.
Oh, you get that bone in place so I can walk again. I don't care. You stripped me naked as I was born.
We don't have to go that far. You're not doing any walking. You ride, I'll walk.
You ride Indian style? No saddle?
It was a long winter for cowhands.
Yeah. You get me back to my ranch, son, and you don't have to worry about winters as long as you want to ride, fence, herd, or cattle drive for the Crown M. My name is Hale Chalmers.
Well, pleased to meet you, Mr. Chalmers. Dan's what they call me. Dan Bowles will do.
Oh, wow. What would do better?
Nothing. That's my name.
Okay, Dan Bowles. Let's get tracking. We got a right for... piece to go before we make it to home.
It would have been far, traveling as we were, me on foot and Mr. Chalmers barely supporting himself on Baldy's back, if long before we ever got in sight of the ranch, we didn't run into all the hands led by the foreman, Mike Patterson, sweeping the range as far north and south as I could see, looking for Mr. Hale. Behind them was a buckboard with Doc Nate Reynolds driving, and as soon as he checked out Mr. Chalmers' leg, we all took out for the ranch, reaching there before dark. Before he passed out, finally, Mr. Chalmers had told Black Mike, as I later found everyone called him, to sign me on.
Put your horse in the corral. I'll take you up to the horse house, Bowles.
Thank you kindly.
You travel kind of light. Injun pony?
Yep.
You steal him?
Nope.
Hell, I don't care. Them mangy Injuns, they got anything to take, I'd take it after all the grief they brought us Christian men.
You don't like Indians, Mike.
No, I don't. I can smell them out like a rattler can a prairie dog. And on this land, I'm ranch boss. And the name is Mr. Patterson.
I'd made a friend and an enemy. The friend I could reckon for sure. The enemy was just seat of the pants hunch. I wasn't that bad in need of a job. I had to work under a ranch boss like him. And I might have considered real hard about signing on if it wasn't for a thing happened the next day.
Come.
Mr. Patterson said you wanted to see me, Mr. Chalmers.
I sure do, son. Come on in. Shut the door. Have some coffee with me.
Thank you, sir. I don't reckon I could stop for coffee. Mr. Patterson wants me out riding fence.
He does, doesn't he? He signed you on like I told him?
Well, sir, I ain't rightly signed on yet. I reckon he wanted me to prove out, and I ain't made up my own mind the whole way.
Well, forget Black Mike. He's a mean, ugly cuss a lot of ways, but the best ranch boss a man could ask for. Go on, sit down. Pour yourself some coffee.
How's the leg this morning?
Well, it hurts. Means it's mending good, thanks to you. Got your rifle stock right here. Need some cleaning.
No, I'd rather tend to that myself.
Yeah, figured you would. And I want to ask another favor of you.
Well, sure, Mr. Chalmers. I guess.
Come right down to it. I hope you'll consider signing on here. Because I need a man like you.
I'll think on it.
All right, in a second now. You know where Miller's Junction is from here?
Unless it's moved in the last month or two, I do.
Well, my daughter's due in there tomorrow morning on the Union Pacific Railroad. Now, I can't pick her up myself, laid up like this. Now, would you take the buckboard in and pick her up for me? Now, you go to the bank and see Mr. Slade. Now, I'll give you a dispatch pouch. Now, he'll give you an envelope with money we need here for operating expenses and see you're roomed and boarded at the hotel.
You're putting an awful lot of faith in me, Mr. Chalmers.
I owe you my life. Why wouldn't I?
Supposing I was to take the money and keep right on going.
You won't. You meet my daughter, and I guarantee you won't. And we'll take it all from here.
I didn't know right then that I was going to meet my whole future, and that whether it ended in life or death was a toss of the coin, and not very far away.
Some curious instinct, perhaps bred from the half of him that came from Indian heritage, faintly struck an alarm bell deep within Dan. Shutting his eyes against the sun as he came out of the ranch house, he could almost glimpse far off the vision of the blue roan stallion, and hear against his heart the drumming of its hooves. I shall return shortly with Act Two.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablet?
No, the sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure and post-nasal drip.
You mean Sinoff?
Exactly.
Compare Sinoff tablets with anything you've ever taken for sinus. No sinus tablet you can buy relieves more symptoms. Sinoff gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a powerful sinus drainer. Sinoff works fast to help sinus pain while you drain.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box. Take when needed, only as directed.
Imagine living without electricity, or indoor plumbing, or food when you're hungry, or clothing when you're cold, or a job when you need money, or a school to get an education. Millions of children around the world don't have to imagine. They live that way. But there is hope, and you're it. By contributing to Save the Children Federation, you can help erase a lifetime of misery. All it takes is a few dollars. Won't you please send your check to Save the Children, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York, 10017.
Dreams. We all seek to understand the many ways in which God reveals His Word. The prophet Joel spoke in the name of God. It shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So pay attention to your visions and dreams. They may contain more than you imagine. For your free booklet on dreams, write to the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021. That's the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021.
Events do cast their shadows before them. The trouble, of course, is that only in hindsight is that warning shadow perceived or realized, usually too late to change the march of fate. As with Dan Bowles, whistling softly to himself while he hitches up the buckboard, enjoying the prospect of the trip to town as any lone cowboy would.
Bowles! Bowles, what in Sam Hill do you think you're doing?
Hitching up the buckboard to drive into Miller's Junction.
I told you I wanted you out riding fence.
Well, I got to go by the boss.
I'm the boss around here.
Yes, sir. Ranch boss. But I got my orders direct from Mr. Chalmers.
What orders?
Take the buckboard in to pick up Miss Chalmers tomorrow off the railroad and drive her home.
You're not picking up Mercy, I am. Don't you pull out of here till I get back from the main house, or I'll be right on your heels, and I'll be carrying iron.
I don't carry a gun. It's not a way for a man to prove he's a man. I know I can shoot. I've had a rifle in my hand since I was 5, and my father first put it there. I can take the head off a prairie hen at 100 paces. So by the time Mike came back, I had my old Spencer lying easy in my hands. But I could see he was in no mood to fight.
Now, Bowles, you finished hitching up the buckboard?
Yep.
I'm ordering you to forget the fences. You climb aboard and hit off for town like Mr. Chalmers told you.
Yes, sir.
But don't you get no big head. You get Miss Mercy back here safe and sound, or you'll answer to me as well as to her father.
I reckon I'll do my best.
You better. You may be walking tall now, Red, but don't think it won't end with me cutting you down to size. I took a notion the minute I laid eyes on you there wasn't going to be room for both you and me on the same spread.
When the train pulled in next day, it wasn't hard to spot Miss Chalmers. Only 2 people got off. One was a man who helped her down. She was a small person, dressed Eastern style in a long, silky dress, with a great wide hat of straw and a dark, chestnutty hair. Dark brown eyes so big and deep a man could drown in them. And I did. I was in love with her from that very first moment. Miss Chalmers?
Yes?
My name is Dan Bowles from the Crown M. Your father sent me here to meet you and see you back to the ranch.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Bowles?
Dan will serve, ma'am. I'm just a hired hand.
Oh, well, you must be something more if Daddy sent you to pick me up. And even if you weren't, we'll stick to Mr. Bowles. He's all right. Daddy's all right, isn't he?
Just laid up for a short spell.
Why?
Seems like his horse stepped in a gopher hole and throwed him.
He wasn't hurt bad.
Broke his leg is all. Only a shin break. You got some luggage I ought to be picking up.
Yes, I do.
Well, then I'll get you settled in the wagon and go fetch it.
I reckon I'll just clear your dust for a while. You are headed for quite a roundup.
You sure have a lot of belongings with you, Miss Chalmers, for a visit.
Who said it was just a visit?
Well, ain't you still schooling back east?
Ain't you still schooling? Oh, come on, Mr. Bowles. You can do better than that.
When in Rome, you know what they say.
Indeed, I do. Do as the Romans do. But do you know who said it?
I believe it was St. Ambrose in reply to St. Augustine. Which ain't going to interest nobody too much west of the Missouri. Should we take on out, ma'am?
By all means, Professor. You seem to have the class well in hand.
You can josh me all you want, Miss Chalmers, but when it comes to class, then I guess you could always show me my place. Hey, giddy up.
So you took the stock off of your rifle and made a splint for my daddy's leg.
Well, you know the prairie, Miss Mercy. There ain't much else at hand.
Hey, now you know better than that.
Doesn't just seem to fit the surroundings.
Well, there's nothing to be ashamed of in education, I hope.
You're right. But it does irritate a lot of folks who never had a chance at it.
Oh, you've been finding that out at the ranch?
Yeah, maybe.
Not my father, certainly.
I wouldn't think so.
Mike Patterson, pet.
I didn't say so.
You wouldn't have to. How
come my daddy didn't send him to pick me up when he couldn't come himself?
I reckon you'll have to ask him that.
I just reckon I will have to do that. I'll bet Mike was fit to be tied.
Do you and he have an understanding?
Now, that's better. Proper use of the subjunctive case, not you and him.
I said my mother was a school teacher.
Did she bring you up?
Sort of. I got most of my schooling in St. Louis.
To be a cowhand?
Oh, that came after I graduated. I went south and did a heap of wrangling. And then I went for cattle drives.
With your education, what made you choose that kind of life?
Oh, well, it was a way to come northwest to see my mom. And?
And?
A way of life, I guess. Gets bred into the bones and the blood. I love this country. I got my roots in it. And I'm a cattleman at heart. Hard to explain.
Not to me. Why do you think I brought all this baggage with me? Just for a visit?
I wouldn't know.
This ain't no visit, Dan. I'm back home where I belong. To stay.
Of course, she wasn't looking at me when she said that. But out across the flatlands to the mountains, where the red was beginning to turn purple as the sun dipped low. But my heart gave a leap like it does when you hook some old trout. And I knew the first moment I got back, I was going to sign on at the Crown Inn. In spite of Black Mike and the trouble I knew had to come between us sooner or later.
Mercy! Oh, Mercy, it's good to see you again.
Mike, nice to see you.
Here, let me help you down.
Thank you.
Hey, you, Dan. Here. You can take the rig to the back door to offload it. We won't need you.
Mercy! Oh, come on and let me see you. Give me a hug.
Are you all right?
Oh, honey. Never better except for this temporary game leg.
Mike, Daddy.
Oh, don't knock me off a pin.
Oh, it's so good to see you. It's so good to be home.
All right, boy. Let's get that buck wagon moving.
Hey, yeah, hold it, Mike. Hold it now. You can take the wagon. Dan and me have got some business. You brought what I asked, Dan?
I did, sir. Right in a saddlebag beside me.
Yeah, bring it in, then.
Whatever you say, Mr. Chalmers.
All right, Mr. Toady. You won't be walking high and mighty long.
Yeah, so now, how do you like the better half of the Chalmers family, Dan?
Miss Mercy's a mighty fine lady.
If you're going to sign him on, Daddy, I think it ought to be his butler.
Don't you run down Dan Bold, honey. I owe him my life, and according to Doc Reynolds, the fact that I'll be able to walk again.
Oh, I wouldn't dream of running him down. He's too good at doing that for himself. Well, I'm going upstairs to freshen up. Could someone bring me my bag?
Just as soon as Mike gets him off the wagon, I'll have the houseboy bring him up to you.
I won't be long.
Oh, yeah, she's caution. But it's good to see her home. Come on in my office, son. We'll get that money in the safe. Yeah, well, it's all here.
Oh, I hope so. You don't think I'd be siphoning any off on you?
Well, I told you to buy yourself some gear. Now, I see at least, you got some new clothes.
Oh, sure. I also picked up a saddle and such, but I used my own money.
Okay. That's as you please.
I still got some money laid by.
You going to sign on with me?
Well, I'm not right sure I should.
Why?
Well, one good reason. Your ranch boss and me, we don't hit it off so good.
Yeah, well, for all his drawbacks, he's the best I ever had.
Anything wrong, Mr. Chalmers?
No, just a twinge in my leg. Now, where were we?
About my signing on.
Yeah. Well, it isn't only what you did for me, but now, I'll tell you square out. Now, I took a liking to you from the first. And right at this time in my life, I don't know how to put it except I need you, Dan. Now, with Mercy home and determined to stay, she's just as taken by you as I am. I can tell. Well, I can't lay it out much plainer.
I hope you'll stay. At least a while.
I reckon you don't have to twist my arm, Mr. Chalmers.
Oh, my damn, son, that lifts a heap off of my mind. While you were throwing your money around, you pick up a gun to carry on your hip,
No, sir.
Well, I got no choice, son. I have to warn you against Black Mike. He might call you out. You ought to be ready.
I'm ready, sir. But not with a gun. Never with a gun. A gun is to live by, not to die by.
Easy to say, but the West of Dan Bowles' time wasn't ready to be that civilized or to recognize any law beyond the simple solution of a lead slug. Dan Bowles is a man of principle, however, and his principles are to lead him into such dangerous traps that may sign his death warrant not once, but twice. I shall return shortly with Act Three.
Isn't it nice to know you're free? To see the things you want to see. To touch the heights you dare to reach. To know you're all that you can be.
According to EPA results, a 1976 Buick Electra, equipped with automatic transmission and available 350 V8, delivered 14 miles per gallon in the city test and 18 in the highway test. Of course, these are only estimates. The mileage you get may vary. But what it all boils down to is this. Now, Electra isn't just a luxury car. It's a practical luxury car. In California, see your Buick dealer for EPA figures.
Okay, I made a mistake. My first mistake. But they say guys like me coming out of jail usually wind up coming right back.
I like sitting in the park, but not every day. I want to do something useful. People around here, though, they think you're over 65. You're useless.
The man crossed them. And shoot. Who are you kidding, girl? You're nowhere unless you can read.
Tough problems call for real solutions, not just talk. If your community has a problem, you need action. Action is skilled volunteers of all ages working together to help solve tough community problems. Write Action, Department Q, Washington, D.C., 20525. Between us, there's got to be a solution.
This is a public service of this station and the Advertising Council.
As the hot summer passed on, no threat of the violent events to come showed. Hale Chalmers' leg was healed, so he could ride his horses with his old abandon. Mercy settled back into the rhythm of ranch life. Mike Patterson was fully absorbed in the handling of the stock in preparation for the fall drive to market. And Dan? Well, he was the fuse primed for the explosion. Because Hale used him as a minister without portfolio, a sort of second-in-command, circulated to every field of the ranch life and management. But a delayed fuse is just as dangerous as any other.
Where the devil do you think you're going?
Mr. Chalmers' orders. I'm taking Miss Mercy to town.
I need you to help cut out cattle for the market.
I guess you're just going to have to wait until I get back.
I'm telling you something, Bowles. I ain't going to wait much longer till you and me have a showdown. While you're in town, better get yourself a gun.
I feel right at home on the range. And I sure never do hear a discouraging word.
I'm sorry. I was thinking.
How about an encouraging word?
Don't do that, ma'am.
Ma'am. What are you, determined to sell yourself into slavery?
I have since I first met you.
Now, that is more like it. Stop the horses.
We're running a piece behind time.
You will? I will. All right, Dan Bowles. Let you and me have a showdown. Don't you think it's about time?
Yeah, I reckon. Everyone wants to call me out. You ought to be the first.
Why me first?
Because you know you got me hog-tied and thrown. And what's the sense of keeping up the pretense?
Why would you want to?
I'm not worthy of you, Mercy.
Mercy? First time you called me that?
Yeah, and it should be the last.
Why?
Because if I let it stand, and you let it stand, it changes a whole heap of things between us.
It doesn't change a thing, Dan Bowles. It just gets it out in the open. And about time. I am just not going to wait around any longer. And if you can't speak up for yourself, I will. I know you love me. Why don't you do something about it?
Mercy, you don't understand.
I don't want to understand. I just want you to tell me that you do.
It seems like I don't have to.
Well, you better. You kept me waiting long enough.
Oh, darling.
Oh, we'd better get on into town fast and round up that license. I may be a mite forward, but I still want to stay a decent woman.
The old buckboard was skimming over air. I knew I should turn it around and head back for the ranch and have my own showdown with Mr. Chalmers, but Mercy's eyes were shining. My heart was plumb ready to swell up and burst. We did have business in Miller's Junction. It was difficult to say goodnight, but finally, Mercy went up to her room. I should have known better and gone to my own, but I thought a drink might clear my head. So I made the mistake of going to the bar.
Hey, bartender. Give me another blast of that rot gut and leave the bottle. Hey, join me, partner?
I buy my own, mister.
No offense. Just making a little play, Mr. Patterson. Now, they tell me you're the ranch boss up at the Crown Inn.
What if I am?
Well, since you just rode in, I thought you might be looking to sign on some hands for the fall drive. I'm ready, willing, and able.
Well, you got a horse and gear?
Sure.
Where'd you ride last?
Up Oregon way. You old lazy kid. Hey, wait a minute. You want the word on me? Will you look at who just walked in? Ah! Well, boy, if it ain't old Red Engine himself. Ain't that, old partner? It's Pink Widow, Lazy Q.
Hey, Faye. Great to see you. What you doing up this way?
Well, I run a drive up to Chisholm and was on my way home. Oh, boy, it is good to see you, Engine Dan. Hey, you could put a word in for me with the boss here, maybe, huh?
Engine Dan, huh? That's your usual nickname?
Some places.
How come?
My father was a Cheyenne.
I knew it. I knew it. I could smell it the first time we met, a half-breed.
Hey, now
don't be so fast, Whippy. If you're looking for a job, don't mess between us. Want to ride out to Crown M tomorrow? I think I can promise you one. Sure looks mighty definite there's going to be an opening.
Hey, Dan, I see something wrong?
Oh, it's nothing more than I should have said long before this. Fake, you gotta help me out.
Just thanks.
I want to borrow your horse and get back to the ranch. And I want to ask you to escort a lady out to the Crown M tomorrow by buckboard. I didn't know just what I had in mind, only that I wanted to talk to Mr. Chalmers before Black Mike did, even if it meant riding through the night to get back to the ranch. As I got to the corral...
But hold it. Hold it right there, Engine.
What?
You get yourself a fighting gun like I told you.
Oh, it's you, Mike. No, I didn't.
Well, it's too bad. I'll tell you what. I got me two guns. No, don't you even move toward that rifle. I'll just fire one of my guns in the air and plug you dead with the other. And I'll toss the other gun alongside you. There won't be no problem. An Indian don't have much rights in this country anyway. You're not getting mercy. Or this ranch, or taking anything away from me, understand? You better get ready to join your ancestors. I'm telling you, one man will never miss you now, knowing what you are. That's Hale Chalmers. I never figured that.
You all right, Dan?
Why, yeah, yes, Mr. Chalmers, but...
I was awake. Pain was bothering me. I heard him, that Mike, ride up. And you, Hilf Leather, come out on the porch to see what in tarnation was going on. I couldn't let him kill you. I owe you that, at least.
He meant to murder me.
Yeah, I understand his feelings. My own were the same.
What do you mean?
I have a daughter. And I have a ranch. And I had a dream. I haven't long to live. When you found me half dead and set my leg and brought me home, I thought every prayer I ever made had been answered. I knew Mercy wouldn't stay east, that she had her roots back here. The ranch would be hers, but she needed a man to run it with her. And Mike Patterson, for all he wanted to be, was not the answer. It looked to me like he were. And it seemed to look that way to Mercy.
Mercy loves me, sir, as I do her.
She loves what she thinks you are, what I thought you were, not some sneaking, dirty, below-contempt half-breed.
You speaking for yourself?
Or any right-thinking American.
I dispute your title. One half of me is more American than any wish or dream can make you. But it's an argument don't make no sense. I guess there's only one answer now.
Get out. While the getting's good.
Not for your sake, but for Mercy's sake.
Where's my daughter?
I left a friend of mine to escort her home. Don't worry. He's 100% not American, but white. I couldn't just walk out of Mercy's life without at least an explanation. So, riding my own horse, and with Bakes on trail, I headed back for town. I was less than halfway there when I met them. The old buckboard swaying and lumbering as Bakes drove the horses full out.
Well, there, boy. Now, hold up, hold up.
Charlie, are you all right?
I'm okay.
Oh, I thought you and Black Mike had tangled. Oh, Dan, I was afraid you might be dead.
No, not me.
Mike?
Your father shot him to save my life.
Darling.
I've never seen a man so stubborn in my life. Now, why don't you pack a gun?
Why don't you take your horse and ride on to the ranch, Bake? There'll be more than one place for you there now.
But Miss Chalmers...
Dan can see me home safe.
Or Mercy knows her own way.
Well, as you say. Dan, if what I said last night had...
Forget it, Bake. It had to come out. I should have made it clear long since.
Well, I just hope I didn't cause no trouble.
Well, I guess you know the truth by now.
You mean the awful truth?
Well, that depends on the point of view.
Well, my point of view is yours.
Yeah, but not your father's.
He has no right to think as he does. I love him, but he's wrong.
Yes, but that doesn't make me any more the right for you.
Well, there's one way to solve it all.
How?
Well, you wouldn't make a dishonest woman of me, no matter how hard I've tried. Will you take me back to Miller's Junction and make me an honest one?
But your father...
Well, once it's all over with, it'll be too late for him to have any objections. Not that he has any right.
What do you mean?
That will be my wedding present to you, Dan. Or the best part of my dowry. I'll tell you on the way back to town.
If Mercy hadn't told me the whole story, I don't know if I ever would have gone through with it. But knowing the truth, I saw no reason not to, and we were married. The only thing I wouldn't do was run. I just had to make my peace with her father some way before we left, or at least let Mercy say goodbye to him. But it was coming on to dusk by the time we set off back for the Crown Inn, and we were just going through a cut in the mountains when suddenly Mr. Chalmers showed up, loaded for bear. Drove his horse straight at us, stopping the wagon with a squeal and a groan, blocking the road as he got off.
Get out of that wagon, Injun.
Daddy, what are you going to do?
You stay out of this, Mercy.
You get yourself a shooting iron yet, Injun Dan?
No, sir. Stay back, Mercy. Let me handle it.
Okay. I brought one for you. Here. Well, go on, pick it up and defend yourself. I don't shoot any man without a weapon. Even an Injun who sneak behind my back.
Dan, listen to
you me. You pick it up.
No, sir. If you want to shoot me, I offer you no excuse. The Blue Stallion. Remember I told you the sign of death in my family.
Pick up that gun.
Watch out, sir. The Stallion.
Are you all right, darling?
Yes, I'm all right. But my rifle. Why did you fire? He didn't shoot.
Oh, I fired at the Stallion. What happened to Daddy?
Your father...
Oh, did I shoot him?
My heart. Give out. Been living on borrowed time.
Oh, Daddy. Daddy. Oh,
it's all right, Princess. I couldn't have lived with... Oh, did you marry?
Yes.
Oh, there's something I have to tell you. Why?
Daddy, I've known for years. Ever since Mother died. What does it matter? I loved you just the same, and I never knew him. You were all the father I ever wanted. But I am not ashamed of my Indian blood.
You've got to understand. I loved her. It wasn't her fault. She was taken against her will. I was proud to marry her. To give her child. To give you her name. Dan.
Yes, sir.
I shouldn't have tried to put one man's guilt on all your race. Forgive me.
What's that?
The Blue Roan Stallion.
Take care of the ranch. The Crown Air Mercy. Don't worry about me. You'll carry me.
Prejudice and bigotry die hard. A man like Hale Chalmers, for all his good points, could never have admitted that his daughter had other blood in her veins but his. But perhaps beyond the waters where the great stallion carried him, he may find wisdom among his equals and learn to smoke with them the pipe of peace. I'll be back shortly.
You're listening to the beginning of something. An automobile commercial? No. As a matter of fact, it's the beginning of a new phase in a man's life. A man who looks different, moves differently, speaks differently, because he was born with cerebral palsy. The new phase in his life began when he started the engine of that car and drove off with his brand new operator's license in his pocket. His name is Joe Elko, man with cerebral palsy, college student, and now automobile driver. It upset some people to see Joe get into that car. In fact, it upset some people to see him at all. That's because they don't understand that although Joe may look different, inside he's no different than anyone else. He and United Cerebral Palsy are looking forward to the day when everyone will understand. In the meantime, Joe joins us in hoping you'll give generously to United Cerebral Palsy. They had a hand in helping him become what he is today, a man with a future.
Celebrating a bicentennial, 200 years ago when our forefathers won their freedom, from the Missouri to the great mountain slopes of the West, the Indian and the buffalo roamed the central plains in freedom of their own. Today, both Indian and the animal he depended on for his life are almost extinct. Neither buffalo nor his hunter were able to adapt to a changing way of life. And yet, life is a constant change and challenge. Let's hope our America will continue as it always has to meet both challenge and change. Our cast included Tony Roberts, Rosemary Rice, Earl Hammond, and Joe Silver. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
And now, a preview of our next tale.
That older dame, she's turning into the apartment house. She reminds me of...
Yes?
Where have I seen her before?
Have you seen her before?
That's her. The old woman who was in my diner the night Tom Fessler was killed.
The one who threatened him with retribution?
She's got different hair, but I'd never forget that face.
Well, Inspector...
Well, what, Louise?
Do I pick her up?
And suppose she doesn't have the gun. You realize the only thing that can hang her is a .22 caliber, nothing else.
Suppose I arrest her right now.
Suppose she isn't carrying the gun. No, the only thing we can do is put a tail on her, have her shadowed night and day, and wait until she wants to use that pistol again.
But if we delay, it could be too late.
And if we move now, it could be too early.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
This is KOIN, Portland. The time in the Northwest is 12 midnight. CBS News is next.
CBS News. South Africa is looking to diplomatic negotiations as a way to avoid a pitched battle between its troops in Angola and Cuban-led forces of the popular movement in Angola. Good morning. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The Soviet-backed MPLA forces appeared to have paused to regroup after routing the organized armies of two pro-Western factions. The MPLA now is reported about 130 miles from South African defensive positions near the Southwest African border. Leaders of two South African opposition parties urged open talks with the MPLA at a time when government sources said there still is time for negotiations to avert an open clash. The MPLA has hinted South Africa could protect its interests in Angola by recognizing the popular movement government. Morocco last night recognized the MPLA, becoming the 32nd member state of the Organization of African Unity to do so. The Portuguese government this morning launched a housing program for Angolan refugees. Some 350,000 Angolans, mainly white settlers, fled Angola when the civil war broke out there just before independence from Portugal last November. A decision to launch a housing campaign was made last night after some 200 refugees occupied the Social Affairs Ministry in Lisbon for several hours and clashed with security forces sent to oust them. Portugal has other troubles. A 10-year-old boy killed and 8 people injured last night in the northern town of Mirandela. The 4 explosions wrecked the printing shop from which leftist workers had just been evacuated. CBS News continues following this message.
Lifestyle, 1776. Cities were few and far between in colonial America. The main population centers were Philadelphia, Boston, New York, Newport, and Charleston, the only 5 with more than 8,000 inhabitants, Philadelphia being the second largest city in the whole British Empire at the time. Outside the cities, the colonial economy was based on farming. Perhaps 8 out of every 10 colonists were involved in it. And the welfare of the colonies depended on foreign trade, on the exchange of farm products for manufactured goods, to a degree that's hardly understandable to us today. I'm Mike Wallace, CBS News. Early American cities and farms, 2 of the subjects on Lifestyle 1776. 30 special bicentennial broadcasts this weekend. We'll also look into military life, entertainment, newspapers, the role of education. Lifestyle 1776, 30 special bicentennial broadcasts from CBS News, this weekend on the CBS Radio Network.
President Ford, waging a catch-up campaign in advance of the March 9th Florida primary, last night sharpened his attacks on Ronald Reagan. Mr. Ford gave up his earlier strategy of ignoring the challenger, implying Reagan's appeal is to the extreme right and that he's too conservative to be elected president. White House sources indicate the administration takes a pessimistic view of its chances of sustaining Mr. Ford's veto of the $6.1 billion public works jobs bill. In vetoing the measure, backers said could create 600,000 jobs. Mr. Ford called it little more than an election year pork barrel. But House Public Works Committee member Jim Wright, for one, is confident that kind of talk won't change congressional support for the bill.
I could not conceive of the president's being able to twist that many arms to change that many people simply for a partisan confrontation. We've had too many confrontations over the economy. He has vetoed more bills in a shorter period of time than any American president in the history of this nation. He should have let this one pass.
Lockheed Aircraft Corporation, trying to fight its way out of a scandal sparked by revelations that it paid millions of dollars in bribes to get contracts abroad, has turned to a former president of the New York Stock Exchange for leadership. Details from Miriam Bier of CBS radio station KNX.
Under severe pressure after revelations of payments to foreign officials to further sales, Board Chairman Daniel Houghton and Vice Chairman Carl Kochian have stepped aside in favor of a three-man executive committee which will serve on a temporary basis. New chairman pro tem is Robert Hack, a member of the board and director of several corporations. Hack says his top priority will be refinancing the company and adds he's optimistic about Lockheed's future.
This company has a great record of performance. It has many accomplishments, and the road is paved with significant contributions that this company has made. Unfortunately, these have been lost in the fanfare that has accompanied this entire problem, which I would submit to you is a problem not only for Lockheed, but for every company doing an international business, and it has potential vast implications.
This is a message to some very special people. They're special people because even though they may feel fine, they're dying. They're people who have high blood pressure and aren't treating it seriously. If you're one of these people, take a few seconds to listen to some statistics. They may help you add years to your life. Insurance companies have found the higher your blood pressure is, the more years you can subtract from your life. For example, if your blood pressure is 140 over 95, subtract 9 years from your life. And if it's 150 over 100, you could die 16 years too early. Here are a few more numbers to think about. If you don't treat your high blood pressure, chances are 3 times greater that you'll have a stroke, and almost 5 times greater that you'll suffer from congestive heart failure. But you can lead a longer and healthier life if you treat your high blood pressure seriously. See your doctor. Get back on your treatment. Treat your high blood pressure and live. A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
I'm Mike Stanley, CBS News.
I'm Pat Callahan, and I'll have news of Oregon and the Northwest for you from COIN at 12:30 this morning.